6 months from now, you could be running a 5K, booking that dream trip, or seeing thicker, fuller hair every time you look in the mirror. Through Hers, you can get dermatologist-trusted, clinically proven prescriptions with ingredients that go beyond what over-the-counter products offer. Whether you prefer oral or topical treatments, Hers has you covered. Getting started is simple. Just fill out an intake form online, and a licensed provider will recommend a customized plan just for you. The best part? Everything is 100% online. If prescribed, your treatment ships right to your door. No pharmacy trips, no waiting rooms, and no insurance headaches. Plus, treatments start at just $35 a month. Start your initial free online visit today at forhers.com/talk. That's forhers.com/talk. Compounded products are not FDA approved or verified for safety, effectiveness, or quality. Prescription required. Price varies based on product and subscription plan. See website for full details, restrictions, and important safety information.
At Ritual, Mother's Day is kind of a big deal, and we're celebrating accordingly. Find your ritual. If mom needs a bit of stress relief, digestive support, or is looking to support glowy, smooth skin, do it today with 40% off your first month for a limited time at ritual.com/podcast. That's ritual.com/podcast for 40% off your first month. These statements have not been evaluated by the Food and Drug Administration. This product is not intended to diagnose, treat, cure, or prevent any disease.
Hello and welcome to the MMQB NFL Podcast. Albert Breer is here. I'm Connor Rohr. We're going to recap the games very quickly towards the end of the show, but as you guys know, this is a special report. We're a couple hours away from the NFL trade deadline.
Well, this couple is a little loose of a description. It's like more like, like now 28, right?
Yeah, depending on when you're listening to this, the trade deadline is either about, I don't know.
Well, it could be a couple of hours away if you let's do it on Tuesday.
Could be 36 hours away, or it could have happened 48 hours ago. So yeah. for our friends living on
Well, those would be the people who want to dunk on us that are going to go back and listen on Wednesday, right? They'd be searching for stuff.
For our friends living in Europe who are in a different time zone, please call us and tell us what happened. You guys are already in the future. Is Patrick Surtain still a Bronco? I'm just kidding. All right, I'm going to ask Albert Breer. We're going to talk some burning questions here. And again, we'll get to a very good Sunday. I'm in New York, New Jersey area. The Snoopy Bowl was epic. One of the best Snoopy Bowls I can remember in recent times.
Unbelievable conditions, too.
In a downpour.
I mean, it looked like the way that like the coaches were dressed with the hoods up and everything, it looked like it was like a, they all looked like Jim Cantore out there.
Everybody except Robert Saleh, who, you know, and me as a fellow bald, I now understand that when you have the clean shave going on and then you put a little bit of product on the dome and it rains, it's basically like a car that just got waxed. Like the water just completely...
It probably feels good.
It feels really good.
Right? Like, yeah.
I stopped wearing a running hat when it was raining because being bald in a rainstorm is that enjoyable. It's a sensory experience.
I guess I'm missing out.
Well, I mean, I would still take hair. But anyway, the one carryover, you and I were just talking about this off air, so we should jump right into it. The Vikings got themselves to 400. It's a winnable division still, and they just lost Kirk Cousins with a torn Achilles. I think that Kevin O'Connell can probably run this offense efficiently with a quarterback that, you know, does he need to go get Ryan Tannehill? Probably not. Is Ryan Tannehill going to operate that offense even effectively? I don't think so. I had asked you before the show about Colt McCoy. I mean, what are some other options here? I mean, where on the scale are we between... We're rolling with Nick Mullins, which is a 0, to we're trading for MF and Kyler Murray, which is like a 10.
I mean, I think that they're kind of like battling with competing things here, if that makes sense. This is about as interesting a spot as I can remember a team ever being in the trade deadline, because this is objectively a reset year for the Vikings, right? Like, if you look at the way they handled their roster in the offseason, they're eating about $30 to $40 million in dead cap this year. They offloaded a bunch of veterans, Dalvin Cook, Adam Thielen, Eric Kendricks. They had other guys like Harrison Smith take pay cuts. You know, Danielle Hunter did a restructure. And so this was sort of like what I would say 2018 was in Buffalo, you know, with the Sean McDermott, Brandon Bean rebuild, where this was the year where they were going to kind of eat it and reset and get younger and start to build around their younger core, guys like Justin Jefferson and Christian Darrisaw. And so it looked like everything was going that way through the first few games, and then they win three in a row. And one of those teams against one of the best, one of those games against one of the best teams in the league in San Francisco. And so it's like, okay, like maybe you don't want to offload a Danielle Hunter. Maybe you don't want to explore trading a KJ Osborne or a Harrison Smith. Then your quarterback gets hurt. So the business decision here is to really lean into your plan to reset this year, right? Like that's the business decision. The other side of it, though, is these are living, breathing human beings who are playing for you. And they've played their ass off to get to 500. And you're trying to build a program. And you want to build trust in that building. And you want those guys to believe in you. And the reality is, for 80% of NFL players, they don't care about your three-year plan. Because they're not going to be there for it, right? So, I don't know. It's just such an interesting thing, the position that the Vikings are in now. Because on one side, without question, the right thing to do from a business standpoint is to go build draft capital and start building to 2024. But I can also see where Kevin O'Connell and Kwesi Adofo-Mensah would have it in the back of their head. Maybe we owe a little something to this locker room. Maybe we owe a little something to the program that we've built, you know, over the last year and a half. Maybe it's not worth the second or third or fourth round picks that maybe we can get, because the culture, the foundation we built here is so much more important, and we don't want to put that in peril by putting our guys in a position where they feel like they can't win.
Yeah. And so we talk about that responsibility curve, and you know, I think it's relatively harmless to go out and get someone like Colt McCoy. I think Nick Mullins, he played well for the 49ers. I think that he is a coachable guy. I think he still has another week or two before he can come off of the IR. Or I think he's got some time before he can come off the IR. Or you have a rookie. And so I don't know. I think that there's really no harm in not spending any capital and going out there and bringing in Colt McCoy, because I view that as almost analogous to trading for, like, who are you going to trade for?
I mean, I saw the Kyler Murray thing floating around. Do not do that, Minnesota. I don't think they will. But like,
no. The thing alone is,
you're not just trading for Kyler Murray if you do that. You're trading for his contract, and his contract is massive. And so if you're trading for Kyler Murray, what you're saying is, if you're O'Connell and Adofo-Mensah, you're basically saying, I'm tying my job security to the guy. Do you want to do that?
No.
You know, I wouldn't.
Kyler is one of a handful of guys. Like, I think most established veteran quarterbacks, I would want to visit extensively with before I did something like this. And I highly doubt that the Vikings have time, although they probably have the means, to take a private jet down to Arizona right now.
Depending on when they're listening to this.
Yeah. my advice to them would be to do that if that's what they're interested in. But yeah. No one, you know, I don't think that decision, because again, we don't know if Kyler can play in another offense. We don't know if Kyler is what Kevin O'Connell even wants. But the flip side,
somebody brought up an interesting point to me on Kyler. Kyler's run the same offense since high school.
And so, but the flip side to that is, if you're the Vikings and you know that you're going to be picking 16, 17, 18, 19 again this year, 20, somewhere in there, is, I mean, at some point you have to get a quarterback, or you have to tell yourself that Kirk Cousins was playing the best football of his career, potentially. And I don't disagree with that. And we're going to run it back with him one more time. And then the year after that, go find a quarterback.
And that's the thing to me, is like, I just look at like where the market was last year for Derek Carr and how it took like a perfect situation for them to be a landing spot for him. Like the fact that the coach from his rookie year and Dennis Allen needed a quarterback, right? Like, and Jimmy Garoppolo, where his market was, again, it took like a circumstance. Like Josh McDaniels needed a quarterback. And, you know, obviously those two had the experience together. Like, it took circumstances for those guys to get real money. I love I think Kirk Cousins is a really underrated player and has been a really good player for a long time. But at 36, 37 years old, coming off of a blown Achilles, is anyone paying him? Like, you may not even have to pay that much to keep him.
Yeah.
You know, And I sort of view him, again, and I know I've used this example with you before, and I hate to beat it into the ground, but I think it's a good one. If you're Kevin and Kwesi, like, can't Kirk Cousins be what Alex Smith was to Andy Reid in Kansas City?
Why not?
I don't know why not, right? So I just look at it like, I think you're better off riding with Kirk Cousins than going all in on somebody you're 80% sure on, right? Like, because if you go in on somebody you're 80% sure on, you wind up with Christian Ponder.
EJ Manuel, something right. like that.
Yeah.
And right. So I think it brings me to a good thought, a good place, because in the broader scope of the trade deadline, like, you and I thought, and with good reason, that this could have been a historic period of time for wheeling and dealing. The last 3 or 4 weeks haven't borne that out, because a lot of these teams are getting closer to 500, and it's going to get harder for them to fall back.
Well, the problem is there are too many teams. No one's really out of it.
No one's out of it.
Like, the entire AFC, or 15 of the 16 teams in the AFC are now within 3 games of each other.
Yeah.
You know who the outlier is?
Who?
The Patriots. By record, all alone, is the worst team in the AFC. But every other team in the AFC is within 3 games of each other.
What dumbass picked them to win the division, huh?
I didn't mean to rub that in. That wasn't intentional. But it's what it is. You know, it's like, I mean, even like the Commanders are 3-4 now. We assume they're going to be sellers. I assume, and we'll get to them, but I assume they're going to be sellers. But I mean, if you're Ron Rivera and you're fighting for your job, aren't you fighting to keep the roster together?
They look good. Yes, they look good on Sunday too. I mean, you watch those first few drives.
It's not Sam Howell's fault. you know,
you watch those first few drives, and you tell me that that team. I was actually just writing this in the power rankings. This is a hot take. If they're in the NFC North, they're in second place.
Yeah.
If they're in the NFC South, they're winning that division right now, possibly comfortably. You know.
I mean, that team has real pieces too.
I know.
Like, real D-line, real receivers.
Real offensive line. That offensive line allowed 1 sack yesterday against the Eagles.
I mean, like, a decent crew of corners. There's something to build on there. There really is. You know, like, I don't think that team is that far away.
So
anyway,
let's take the drone and we'll fly up to 30,000 feet here. Who is selling at this point? Because, you know, I know that, you know, I did my 9 dream trades that I'd like to see. Some of those, I think, are somewhat grounded in reality. You've been writing about the trade deadline for the last few weeks. Mm-hmm. I still think the Broncos are wheeling and dealing. Who else do you think is still out there?
So the Broncos just need picks, and everyone in the league knows it. And that's a result of the Russell Wilson trade and the Sean Payton trade. That's the bottom line. They need picks. And so they're going to listen on everybody. They will listen on Sertan. I still think it's highly unlikely. I was told last week that the price tag is going to be more than the Jaguars got for Jalen Ramsey in 2019. Woo! And that was 2 ones and a 4. And Ramsey, you'll remember, was hurt. And Ramsey was, I think, a year or two older than Sertan, too. So you can see why, you know, the asking price would be astronomical for Sertan. But I do think some contenders are going to sniff around. There are other pieces on that roster that are valuable. Justin Simmons, Josie Jewell on defense, I would say, are two guys to really keep an eye on. The receivers have gotten a lot of attention. Judy and Sutton, I think, for the right price, either of those guys would go. The left tackle is an interesting one, too, and Garrett Bowles. Now, I think it might take a little more for the Broncos to get rid of him, just because I think it's really hard to let go of a tackle, you know, because if you let go of a tackle, you can make yourself non-functional on your offensive line, and that's something that's much harder to reckon with than letting a receiver go. It just is, you know. So, but those would be some of the names that I think would be out there as guys that would be attractive. You know, the other selling teams, we talked about Minnesota, Danielle Hunter. I think if somebody gives them, you know, say a top 60 pick, I think they would really listen. And then, you know, Jordan Hicks is another name as an off-ball linebacker. Would the Buffalo Bills, the Philadelphia Eagles look at him? Harrison Smith, I don't think they would move him unless, you know, he wanted to be moved. And my sense is they get calls on KJ Osborne too, because he's in a contract year, and obviously they're going to have to pay Justin Jefferson, and they have a first round pick invested in Jordan Addison. Then Carolina, Dante Jackson's name has been out there. Jeremy Chinn's name was. Now he's hurt, so it becomes much less likely he's going to be dealt. And the big one with Carolina, Terrace Marshall, receiver at LSU, another one. The big one with them is Brian Burns. Contract negotiations have gone nowhere with him. And he's in a contract year. Now, they don't have to deal him because they have the franchise tag. They could trade him off the franchise tag. But last year, the Rams offered two first-round picks and a third-round pick for him. And the Panthers turned it down. And he's still, I believe, 25 years old. So I just, if somebody comes and offers you that Rams deal for him now, with just half a year left on his contract, I think it's really, they're going to tell you they aren't trading him. But I think if somebody offers you that, at this point, it becomes hard to say no if you're not close to doing a deal. And I do think there's a pretty big gap. There has been at least a big gap in where they are in negotiations.
How bungled does that Carolina situation look now from where we're standing? Because it's, you know, you could have had the Brian Burns deal done. You thought that you were going to sign him. You didn't sign him. And
should you have kept DJ Moore?
Is your trade value on Burns somewhat torpedoed because of the fact that he doesn't have that extra year left on the contract? Yep. And so I just think if you're talking about chess and checkers, right? Like there's a guy up in Philadelphia that's playing chess, and then there's other GMs that are kind of, they've been caught playing checkers. And I think that Carolina, I mean, for whatever reason, Brian Burns doesn't want to be there, or if the money's not there or whatever it is. And if I were him, I would probably want to stay if I knew that someone like Ejiro was going to be there for a long time, because that's going to suit my career. But there's all these other questions. Like, if you were going to keep Ejiro, he's switching that thing to a 3-4. Are some of those guys even around? You know, someone had brought up like someone like Derek Brown, right?
Derek Brown,
Is he going to fit? You're going to have to pay him now. Right. And is he going to fit in that defense? Well, and do you think that Evero's even going to be around long
enough? That's the hard thing, though.
You have, like, so many big decisions to make.
It's like with Evero, you don't know if he's going to be around. And this is where things get sideways, because now you've got a general manager who's working for a different head coach, which, you know, I think changes things as far as how everybody fits and all of that. And so, you know, you've gone through this reset, and it's weird because it feels like they had a really good core that going into that last year with Matt Rhule, right? Where on defense, it was Derek Brown, it was Brian Burns, it was Jeremy Chinn, who, like, for one reason or another, hasn't been a great fit for Evero's defense before he got hurt. It's the young corner. You know, it's having a J.C. Horn, C.J. Henderson, and Dante Jackson at corner. And then on offense, having, you know, Ike Ekwonu and DJ Moore and Christian McCaffrey. Now you've traded McCaffrey, you've traded Moore. You're at the end with Burns. It's kind of like you weren't a full-on seller last year, but you did sell some pieces. Then you sold more pieces in the offseason. And now it's like, can you win with this core anymore because you've removed those pieces? A weird spot to be in, you know?
Yeah. You don't know. And if you're Carolina, gosh, Frank Reich, even after a win yesterday, just looked so completely defeated up at the podium, and they edged one out, and, you know, but you just wonder what he's thinking. I mean, he's already kind of taken a soft little elbow at the owner at a press conference. And it's like, you know, now with the change in coordinator, which I don't know how much he had to do with that and how that actually ended up happening, but you got to just be standing there, and now you're possibly going to trade guys from that roster. And it's just like, what am I doing here? This is way more than I bargained for.
And
you know?
And I think, like, the X factor there always has been, how's the owner going to be involved in this?
Yeah.
Because the owner affected some staff hires and wanting to, you know, do what the Niners did in, like, developing young guys and flipping that for draft capital the way the Niners were able to with so many guys. And like, he is big on asset management. And I think that that's part of how you come to the trades that they've come to so far. So, like, how involved does he get? over the next 24 hours and saying, no, like, I want picks. I want second and third round picks. You know, I mean, I think that that's a factor too in this whole thing. And I mean, obviously be at a different level if you're trading Burns, but there are other pieces on that roster who you can get, you know, like where you can get things. You know, you can get a return for Dante Jackson. You know, you can get probably something for, Terrace Marshall, probably not so much, but you may even still be able to get something for Jeremy Chinn. So, I think the ownership involvement there is really, really interesting.
In fairness to David Tepper, if I bought an NFL team, you bet your ass on trade deadline day, I'm in there. And I'm wheeling and dealing shit because I paid $6 billion for the team and that's what I get to do, right? Like, we're all addicted to, we get into this because we played Madden. And every year in my Madden franchise.
Everyone's a GM now, no question. Yeah.
Every year in Madden, what I would love to do was I would win the Super Bowl with a bunch of undrafted free agents, and then I would trade them all, and then I would get like the first 15 picks in the next year's draft. And I would, and then, you know, and so I would do, like, if you're David Tepper, how do you not do that? That's just so much fun, you know?
I was more like the Nick Saban of like the University of like Arizona in NCAA. That was kind of my thing, was dynasty mode. In NCAA. I don't know how much you played around with that, but
oh, for sure. I mean, dynasty mode was dynasty mode. I mean, if I had to hold up the amount of time that I've spent doing things in my life that didn't relate to anything that had to do with a positive, or something like personal growth or anything, dynasty mode in NCAA would probably be way up there, you know?
yeah. I mean, I was big on like, you know, I would always play my young guys. I would recruit, develop, and play my young guys pretty quickly. You know, put your young guys in single digits. Maybe give them a cool visor. You know, some wristbands. Get them going.
And then, you know, you run a good program, and if you ignore the other people, they don't leave. Like, I don't know. I don't know how the new NCAA game with the transfer portal is going to be bonkers. Yeah. Because
comes into play?
Yeah. I mean, you know, what are you going to do? Maybe that's why they delayed it. I don't know. But yeah. I mean,
the expert move by me was getting my kid a PlayStation 5 for his birthday, like a year and a half ahead of NCAA coming back.
Unless they hold you hostage and they throw out a PS6.
Oh, yeah, that would not be great.
You know what I mean?
Yeah.
Like Grand Theft Auto, like the new Grand Theft Auto only comes out on the new console. And then all of a sudden you got to buy a new console. Outside of Denver, I mean, New England has to be open for business, right? I mean,
yeah, I would say
they actually have some decent veteran players like you would maybe want for like a sixth or a seventh round pick, a couple tight end, Ezekiel Elliott, you know?
Yeah, I think that they have, they've had some stand-up talks with other teams about Josh Uche, who had, I think, 11 sacks last year. Now he's more of like
look good in Jacksonville.
Yeah, he's more of like a situational, I would say, pass rusher. But the type of player that like could be a three down player in a different system. So they've had talks with him with other teams. They've gotten calls on Kyle Duggar, who's a really nice like hybrid safety. Both those guys are in contract years. I don't think they'd trade Mike Nwenu, their right tackle, because I think, again, it's like sort of the same premise as Bowles in Denver, where it's like if you take a really good offensive lineman out, a really good tackle out, it can make you sort of non-functional up front. Do they move a Mike Gesicki? Do they move a Jalen Mills? Like, there are some veterans on the team who've played a lot of football that could be of value to somebody else. But I think the interesting thing about the place they're in is, does Bill want to do that? Because their personnel department has had all of these talks. Bill's so close to the Shula record. Is Bill really worried about what this looks like in 2 or 3 years? You know?
Right. Yeah.
So I think that's sort of, with Bill still having his finger on the trigger there, like, do the Patriots, these moves get set up, do the Patriots actually go through with them? I think that'll be interesting to see over the next 24 hours.
Yeah. Anybody else that you like? Again, I mean, you know, I don't even think, you know, I had people asking me about the Bears. Like, I don't even think the Bears think they're out of it.
It's weird because the Bears, so the feedback I've gotten on the Bears is like, other teams are having a hard time getting a read on what they're doing, because it's just, it's like a lot of conceptual talks, but not a lot of like real, like, all right, like, well, what would this cost? It doesn't really advance. Now, maybe it will over the next, you know, day, but they have a couple of young, like, nice young pieces. Like, Darnell Mooney would be an interesting kind of, you know, speed type of option for someone offensively, a young player who's played some good ball. Jalen Johnson, you know, their young corner. There are a couple guys who are in contract years who played for a couple of different coaching staffs now. You know, so I think there are some players that would be of interest in that roster. The Bears just haven't shown a ton of interest in getting something done. They'll talk to you. They'll listen on anybody, but they haven't, at least yet, shown a ton of interest on moving on from people.
Cardinals have Buda Baker, Zach Ertz, James Conner. I mean,
yeah. DJ Humphreys would be interesting, maybe, just because.
Hollywood Brown?
I mean, Hollywood Brown and DJ Humphreys are the two that are interesting. Everybody needs tackles, right? And I just mentioned that thing with Bowles and Denver and with Nwenu and New England. Well, that doesn't really apply to Arizona because their left tackle of the future is on the roster, right?
Right.
Paris Johnson's there. So, like, they could, if somebody came and offered something really good for DJ Humphreys, they could say, you know what, we should just do it because we could just flip Paris Johnson over to left tackle, make it work at right tackle for the rest of the year, and, you know, take what will probably be a pretty good pick for him. Hollywood Brown, I think, is another one of these guys who, you know, if you can get something good for him, it's probably the time is probably right now to move him if you're not going to pay him. The flip side of this, though, and I think this is really, like, again, this is an interesting thing, similar to Minnesota and different in the record, but similar, in that I think that they've played their asses off, and the record's not good, and the roster's not good, right? But, like, I think if we all pay attention to the way that they've played through seven games, they're in every game, and it's not like this is what we thought it would be, which is them getting, like, routed out of the building on every Sunday. So if you're those guys, do you want to reward the effort the guys have made that you have by saying, you know what, we're going to keep you guys together for us to build a foundation here, for Jonathan Gannon to build what he's trying to build, and with his young coaches, and, you know, Drew Petzing, a first-year coordinator on offense, and Nick Rawls, a first-year coordinator on defense. We want to establish something here. We think you guys have done a nice job. We're going to keep you guys together and see where it goes. I think that there's some value to that or at least I know that they see it that way, that there's some value to the idea of that for them.
And if you're the Cardinals, you're not getting, like, I think it reminds me a little bit of the Texans, where I think everybody thought that roster was built on kind of these one-year mercenary parts so they could build additional draft capital. I don't think if you're the Cardinals, you're getting a whole lot back. You know what I mean? And you also have, as it stands right now, 1, 2, 3, 4, 5, 6, 7. You have 7 picks in the top 101, and you have 2 picks in the top 11. You have 3 picks in the top 35. You're good. You know,
yeah.
I mean, what else are you going to do with 1, 2, 3, 4, 5, 6, 7, 8, 9, 10, 11, 12? What else are you going to do with more than 12 picks? You have 12 picks. If you want 2025 capital, that's fine. And I could see teams, you know, it's still the greatest inefficiency in draft equity trading, right? Is that teams want the immediate capital. They want the immediate return, but you can get better stuff in 2025. You just, cause you don't know what the other team that you're trading with is going to look like, obviously. But, I always think that's a great deal. Maybe they're trying to build the cupboard there, but Cardinals, I could see them being quiet. I mean, it doesn't make a lot of, you know, and again, there's not, it's sort of like, it's sort of like Dollar General after like 8 o'clock. Like, there's not a whole lot in there for you, you know, there's not a lot that you need in that place. The only other
one more team, I have one more team. I think it's just kind of like laying in the weeds, and I just think there are another one that's in an interesting place. That's the Giants.
Yeah. Okay. That's what I was going to ask you about. Why isn't this team? So I was dropping my kids off at school this morning, and I'm coming back, and all the talk is about, well, I mean, you can't get rid of Saquon. Why not?
Why can't
I don't understand why not? I
why
mean,
isn't
if
there
I'm,
a giant for sale sign in there? Saquon, Darren Waller, Leonard Williams. You can have Adoree Jackson. We're not going to pay any of these guys. Get something right. back for them.
I mean, like, I think like they're in a similar place as the Vikings. Like, again, like, I think that the build for Joe Shane and Brian Daboll mirrors what Kevin O'Connell and Kwesi Adolphe-Mensah are doing in Minnesota, which is like they were very competitive in year one, and this is sort of the reset year where they went into it with the plan, we're going to clean the cap out, we're going to come out of this with a full complement of draft picks, we're going to have cap space to work with next year, all of that, right? And they don't have the winning, like, that's kind of hanging around their neck the way the Vikings do, where the Vikings, it's like, oh, well, you know, maybe we can get in this year. You know, they don't have that. So if you're them, do you listen on Leonard Williams? Do you listen on Saquon Barkley? You know, you mentioned Adoree Jackson. You mentioned Darren Waller. Like, they have pieces that could be of interest to other teams. Saquon's the one to me that I don't understand why he wants to stay there that bad. And I get, like, wanting to be in New York, and I love guys who want to spend their whole career with one franchise. But this guy is not young anymore, right? And he's been in the league for 6 years. If Buffalo calls and you go to Saquon, why would Saquon say no to that?
I mean, outside of wanting to, if you have family ties, if you have reasons to want to be in the
right,
area,
but even
close
then,
proximity,
like, even if, you know, even if it was family ties, like, he's from Pennsylvania, right?
Yeah.
He lives in New Jersey. Buffalo is like, what, an hour on a puddle jumper away from both those places?
Yeah. I mean, it's not, you know, and by that argument, I mean, you could say, oh, Miami's only 3 hours away. You know, Carolina's only 2 hours
right.
away. And it makes sense. It's just, you know.
I just think the idea of a Saquon going to Buffalo. I said the same thing with Jonathan Taylor earlier in the year. Like, this would be like, this is like a dream trade for me, because the idea of a Saquon going to Buffalo would settle down so many things there. If you had a guy who could kind of keep you on schedule offensively, help you manage James Cook, right? As your sort of third down scat back, to add another weapon the defense has to account for that helps open up them some things for Stephon Diggs. I mean, if you look at that offense, and now you're talking about going into January with Stephon Diggs, Saquon Barkley, James Cook, Dawson Knox, a potentially growing by that point, Dalton Kincaid, Gabe Davis. I mean, holy crap. And so if you're the Bills, do you look at that and say, that's worth a two? Just and if you're the Giants, and if you're the Giants and you don't know if you're going to re-sign the guy, and the guy's going into year seven anyway after this year, do you have to think about that? Or do you at least go to Saquon and say, look, man, like, we'd love to keep you and we'll say no if you want us to say no, but the Bills came along and offered this.
I mean, I think what Saquon has to realize, and the Giants have always, I do think that there is something to how they behave as an organization. I do think they're a good organization. I do think they genuinely
care about
the
players. I think all that stuff's true.
Now, all that said, guess what they said to Justin Tuck at the end of his career? Go play for the Raiders. Guess what they said to Hakeem Nicks after the Super Bowls? Thanks, buddy. How do the Saints look for you right now? I think, is that where he went? The Saints? Hakeem Nicks?
Is that right? I think so. Yeah. He fell off quick.
Yeah. But, you know, the Giants are loyal to a point. And, I mean, I think the fact that, what was it? And again, it wasn't benevolent what they did, but reworking Saquon's contract on the franchise tag, I want to say was the first time that that happened. I had it in the article. The first time that it happened since the 90s or something like that.
Yeah,
like,
it was
they
a
do
long
go
time,
out of
yeah.
their way for players. But I think if you're Saquon, you have to realize that generally, you know, your marketability depends now on you becoming the linchpin of a Super Bowl team or a playoff team. And the Giants are not going there. And maybe they keep you around for a year and, what, seven?
I mean, look, he had a great year last year. What's Saquon Barkley's like legacy as an NFL player right now? He's not a bust, but just got hurt a lot and, you know, had the one really good year that the Giants made the playoffs. And, I mean, if you're him, like, you have to look at it too and say, like, if this is going to be a 2 or 3 year rebuild and they're going to draft a quarterback in the next couple of years, am I going to be around? Am I going to be in a physical position to be the guy that I am right now anymore? I mean, he's going to be going into year 7 next year. I'm presuming they don't make the playoffs this year, which I think that ship sailed, right? Like, now we're talking about you're going into year 7 and you've only made the playoffs once. And like, you have an opportunity to go to a team that is at the very top of the league, right? In Buffalo. So again, like, this is a hypothetical, but, and maybe it's another team that comes along, but I just look at that, man, and I'm like, man, like, can you imagine Saquon Barkley lining up next to Josh Allen in that backfield and what that would look like and how, like, that could affect so many different things for the Bills.
I get that you can't think this way, but if you're Joe Shane, if you're the Giants, if you don't move on from the players that Dave Gettleman overdrafted and overpaid, then there was no point in getting rid of Dave Gettleman. Like, yeah. you have to pull the Band-Aid off here. Like, at some point, like, it didn't work. The experiment's over. The only other, you know...
I do have... We forgot one more. The Titans.
The Titans. Okay, so...
Yeah.
I had heard there's just not a market for Derrick Henry,
mm-hmm.
which sucks.
Yeah, and I think it's like he's such a unique player. He's so unique to them. You know what I mean?
He is.
He's so unique to them. Like, he's a great player, and we're all going to remember him forever because of how unique he is, right? But that type of back doesn't really fit everybody anymore. And because of what Mike Vrabel was able to build, you know, going back the last 6 years, it was like a few things really came together where they were able to highlight Derrick Henry, get the most out of Derrick Henry, and have Derrick Henry in an ideal situation. But there are lots of offensive coaches out there that probably would feel, I guess, a little hamstrung in having, like, to keep feeding Derrick Henry that way, the way you need to have him be his most effective, you know? So I'd always thought, like, I thought, like, Cleveland would be an interesting fit for him, you know, just because of the way that they do lean on their running game and that there's some parallels there between what, like, Nick Chubb brought the Browns before he got hurt and what Derrick Henry brings the Titans. But he's not the only contract year guy there either, you know? Like, DeAndre Hopkins, after the way he played on Sunday, if you're another team, do you make a call on him? Like, I think he could be an interesting pickup for a contender. Christian Fulton really hasn't worked out at corner, but could be an interesting pickup for somebody. They already traded Byard, obviously. They're open for business on all their contract year guys. Danico Autry, you know, Tierra Tart. Like, there's a few guys on that roster where, you know, like, I think it could be a nice there could be some nice mid-level pickups for teams there. Maybe not the headline grabbers. Like, we all see Henry and Hopkins as the headline grabbers. There are some other guys in that roster who can play and who could be of some value to some other teams.
So I wrote about the buyers yesterday. I think this is a much larger list. So mm-hmm. I want to go down kind of what I have, and we'll just give a thumbs up and a thumbs down, and we'll kind of talk quickly about this. But the first one... I think the Jets should buy, not only because of this year, and I'm not talking about replacing the quarterback, but I think that they're in a two-year build. They're in a two-year window. And so you can almost do what some of the other teams can't do, which is you can shop for beyond the end of this year. Like, even if you are not good this year, the trade still makes sense because you have that two-year window with Aaron Rodgers. I think they should start hunting for some offensive line pieces because they're not going to be good enough to do that. Yeah.
Would that make sense for them?
Yes, 100%. You need a tackle. You need a tackle.
So DJ Humphreys, I think, I mean, you were so desperate at tackle that you moved Oliveira Tucker out there and he got hurt. You know, like, so, I don't know, like, somebody like Humphreys could make some sense. And I think, again, like, Arizona's in this unique position where they've got a, kind of their bedrock left tackle, and their left tackle of the future is already on the roster. Right. So if you're the Jets, I think it's worth at least picking up the phone and calling Arizona about Humphreys.
For sure. Another one I have is the Dolphins. And I just think you're a speed oriented football team. It's a good roster. But like Tyreek Hill, I think that he's going to be great for a long time. I mean, some of these guys, like, he's Tavon Austin on steroids, and Tavon Austin lasted forever in the NFL. Tyreek Hill might last in the NFL forever. But speed is such a dependent thing. And I think that if you're the Dolphins, you either need to double down on what you're doing or you need help. I mean, you obviously need defensive line help. There's a lot of things that I think that that roster needs despite them being so good.
Yeah, and the Titans, I think, again, like that would be a team I would call. I would call on Danico Autry, who I think could be a really nice, you know, piece for them. He's been a really good player in the league for a long time, a pro, and a guy you could bring in and maybe, you know, assimilate in pretty quickly. And, you know, like then I'd say like the Dolphins, do you want another piece of corner if you're them just to kind of give yourself some insurance with Xavier Howard having been so banged up and Jalen Ramsey coming back off of the knee injury? I just, you know, like the corner's the one spot where I'm like, if they could just kind of get like another steady piece there, I would feel better about them defensively.
Yeah. We have the Buffalo Bills, who you mentioned before. I mean, I think the Bills need a lot of stuff. I mean, the Bills need to
off
get rid of
Kyrie corner.
Yep, they need to get rid of Kyrie Elam, which I think they might. Yeah. And
so, I mean, if I'm the Bills, I might call Caroline and see, would you deal me Dante Jackson for Elam straight up?
Yeah,
because Jackson's got like a relatively big contract, but you can absorb it. You can find ways to play games with the salary cap on that. And you give the Panthers another guy who would be a reclamation project like C.J. Henderson was for them, you know, who's got some talent. I think the other position Buffalo's got to look at is off-ball linebacker. They really miss Matt Milano, you know. So, again, do you call Denver on Josie Jewell? Do you call Minnesota on Jordan Hicks? Like, I think if I'm Buffalo, I want to see if I can add another off-ball linebacker to the mix.
Another team that we're looking at here, the Jaguars. I mean, if you want to be considered class of the AFC, you probably got to make some moves here. I think that pass rusher makes a lot of sense for them, because then all of a sudden you can let Trayvon Walker do what he's better at, which I think is being everywhere instead of right now. He's just sort of fledgling a little bit.
So they did have some talks with Jacksonville and have had some talks with Jacksonville or with Minnesota about Danielle Hunter. He would be an interesting name for me. You mentioned Uche earlier, I believe, right?
Like, yeah, so Josh, I like him. I like him in Jacksonville.
Josh Uche would be an interesting fit there, but I'm with you. Like, I think they're close enough where it's like, if you can add a pressure player on defense, you know, you feel pretty good about where you are going into the AFC playoffs. They're 6-2 now, I believe, right?
Yeah, because you can't do nothing, right? I mean, if you're them, you can't do nothing. And so I think that because you gotta show them too that hey, we're all in with you guys. I mean, we went on the big winning streak. We're ripping off these games. Now it's time to win some games. The Chiefs are another one where, like, everyone's like, when are they going to get the wide receiver? I don't know if they ever will, but, you know, you lose to the Broncos on Sunday because Patrick Mahomes just can't find a guy to throw through to. And when Travis Kelce's bottled up, there's no one else in that offense that he trusts.
Yeah, I feel like they, it's really, they're banking on the development of Sky Moore and Rashi Rice now. And those are two guys in their defense that they've invested pretty high-end draft capital in, like, you know, second-round picks each of the last 2 years. And they really need those guys to come along. And so, to me, like, if I'm the Chiefs, my thought right now is I have to be really honest with myself about where those two players are. And I think that dictates where you're going, right? Because you know what you have in Valdes-Scantling. You know what you have in Hardman coming back. And he had the big turnover yesterday. But you have to be honest with yourself about those young guys and whether or not those young guys are going to be in a position to help you like you thought they would be when you get to January.
Yeah. Cleveland is another one where you have to come up with some sort of plan. Everything hinged on you winning now. This was supposed to be the year. The defense is a top five unit, even though I think that they've taken a step back in the last couple of weeks and and teams have figured out how to score.
They're still really good.
They're still really good though. Exactly. Yeah. And so do you allow, and you can tell my dog, my terrier Ernie, he agrees with me. He was a one-time member of the Dog Pound. Can you look at yourself and be like, Deshaun will be fine when he gets back, or
we can still win games with PJ Walker.
So are you saying like you tried to get Jacoby Brissett back?
Yeah, or Josh Dobbs. Like if Kyler Murray's healthy, you know, just give him the pick back, you know?
Right.
Pretend it never happened. I don't know.
Yeah. Like you basically, like, what would that be, like an 8-game rental?
Yeah.
I like the idea of Brissett going back there because I think Brissett, to me, had such valuable experience last year navigating a really tricky situation and being able to get himself through what, I mean, was thorny in a million different ways. And if you remember, like, part of that is because he was there in New England during Brady's suspension and how weird that was in that quarterback room, you know? So this is a guy who's a really, you know, good, I think, borderline starting level quarterback, like probably just below that line, but a guy who has instant respect in your locker room because he was there last year and has navigated tricky situations in the past and knows the way a locker room works. So he's going to have like the emotional intelligence to make sure that he's not screwing anything up when it comes to Deshaun Watson as he goes and does his job. And so I wasn't huge on this a couple weeks ago, but as the Watson situation's kind of gotten weirder and weirder, it makes sense to me to go and get Brissett back.
Another couple teams here that I think should at least think about doing something, and I'll just run down them quick. Ravens, I would like them to get a back and another pass rusher. I mean, Jadeveon Clowney's played really well, but he's 30, and, you know, I don't know, Danielle Hunter.
Derrick Henry in Baltimore is fun to think about.
Derrick Henry and Danielle Hunter, and then punch your ticket to Vegas.
Yeah,
don't even think about it.
The Danielle Hunter thing would have, like, getting him traded from Minnesota to Baltimore would definitely give you some Yannick Ngakoue vibes from a couple of years ago, you know?
Yeah.
Danielle Hunter,
his purple stuff.
Yeah, Danielle Hunter would really fit there, you know? So, and again, like, the Ravens love those third contract veterans where you know what you're going to get, you know? So I wouldn't rule out the idea that they could re-sign somebody like that and make him part of, you know, their new core with, you know, Roquan Smith and Marlon Humphrey and all of those guys. And so, yeah, I love the idea of Hunter there. Henry is probably a pipe dream, but it's fun to think about, you know, like the idea of Lamar Jackson and Derrick Henry standing next to each other in the backfield. The same way we talked about the idea of Josh Allen and Saquon Barkley standing next to each other.
For sure. 49ers, I mean, you know, I think tackle help, pass rush help, Seahawks, Eagles, Cowboys, Lions, all these teams should to some degree be interested in adding on, just because I do think that there's going to be such a grab here, and maybe one or two teams only get what they need to get out of the trade deadline and everybody else is left a cut below.
So the Lions and Seahawks have already sniffed around for pass rush help. I wouldn't be surprised if either of those teams could be a home for like an Uche, you know. Hunter would be a great fit in Detroit, too. I just don't know if the Vikings would trade him in division. Although those two teams
have done a bunch of deals.
Mm-hmm. You know, like they did the Jameson Williams deal. They did the TJ Hockenson deal. So there's some history there. I just think the Eagles could take another swing. You know what I mean? Like, I just think Howie has a swing in him. And I, as well as they played, and what's so impressive about where the Eagles are, is that they've taken everybody's best shot and they're 7-1. It feels like they're everybody's Super Bowl now. And every one of those games is like a really high leverage, high intensity game. And they're surviving that every week. Like I just think like Howie could sense like, hey, we're close again, you know, and take a big swing. If it's not a big swing though, I think they'd be in the off-ball linebacker market. So do they go and get a Josie Jewell from Denver or bring back Jordan Hicks, you know, who had been there all those years ago from Minnesota? Like, I think a move like that would make sense for the same reason going and getting Kevin Byard last week made sense for them. I think their two biggest holes on that roster were at off-ball linebacker and safety, where they lost guys like TJ Edwards and CJ Gardner-Johnson last year.
Real quick, there was games yesterday.
Yes, there were.
There was some football. What was sort of
your... The Bengals are back at it, Connor.
Yeah. It turns out, avid readers of the power rankings that were saying that I was out of my GD mind for putting them ahead of the Lions. Turns out, the Bengals are pretty good. And not just because I'm a newly christened Bengals fan. You know,
after all that, it's Halloween. And the Bengals are one game in the loss column out of the lead for the top seed in the AFC. How about that?
Yeah. Just like, you know, there are some times when if you're gonna yell at the guy doing the power rankings, just think about it for a second. This is a long season. Power rankings are hard too, by the way. This is I'm not breaking stone here every day, but I'm just saying power rankings are tough work.
I know they are. I can remember what's hard isn't like the top six. Doing like the top six, the top eight is kind of fun. You know what I mean? Like, feels like an AP ballot almost.
Yeah, but like what's hard is when you
get down to like 20, like parsing 23 from 24.
Yeah.
And it's like, you know, someone is going to get massively offended by that dumb decision.
Well,
like,
the Giants should be 28, you know, instead of 29 or 30. It's like, just find something
How
else.
How dare
to do
you
with
put
life.
The Cardinals in front of the Broncos?
Yeah. It's like, you know, I don't know. Sometimes I do this blindfolded. No, I'm just kidding. But yeah, it turns out the Bengals are all right. That was a big takeaway.
I thought Joe Burrow looked like Joe Burrow. Like, I think it's like full on Joe Burrow. And now, like, I don't know, man. Like, you know, you watched Josh Allen the other night and you can see, all right, like, once Kincaid gets going and if they can get Gabe Davis going again, like, I mean, is it going to be the three quarterback? And I know, like, Mahomes didn't look great on Sunday against the Broncos, but are we at a point again where it's going to be those three quarterbacks again in the AFC, you know, and those three teams again in the AFC? I think like Jacksonville is like kind of a sneaky team that could like break into that club, but it does look like as we start to gather more information here, like Buffalo and Kansas City and Cincinnati are going to probably be right back where they were the last 2 years.
Chargers look good. Austin Eckler's back. All of a sudden, that offense makes some sense. Again,
did the clock strike midnight for Tyson Bagent?
I think the clock struck midnight for Tyson Bagent's dad. I think that's it for him. The arm wrestling guy. He got a lot of love and well deserved. What a great dad.
Oh yeah.
You know, but that was probably. And good for him. I mean, as a dad, that's all you hope for, right? Is like one feature, one NFL Films feature on you.
Yep.
You know, but 49ers losers of three straight. Just think they need offensive, you know, they need to get back healthy on the offensive line. Ravens beat the Cardinals 31-24. The Broncos, you know, it was a great game. Again, you take away Travis Kelce and all of a sudden things kind of open up and you force Patrick Mahomes to trust some other guys. You know, all of a sudden a defense gave up 70 points is holding the Chiefs to nine. The world,
which
makes
is
no
like
sense.
To me is like the ultimate, like, don't pay attention to anything that happens in September thing.
Yes.
Right. Like, I mean, if we need any more evidence of what happens in September means nothing because of the changes in practice time, because of the changes in contact in practice, because it just takes the best teams longer to get their sea legs. Like, there it is for you. Like, the Broncos look like a totally different team. Like Vance Joseph was being laughed out of a job a month ago, and now he holds Patrick Mahomes and the Chiefs out of the end zone for an entire game.
Again, nothing makes sense.
I will say too, you take a lot of criticism for the power rankings. I took a lot of hits from my take yesterday that the weather could be a factor in generating a Broncos Chiefs upset, and lots of people from Kansas City.
Did you pick
through
it?
Through the have you ever been to Missouri in the winter before at me?
Did and you pick it?
I didn't pick it, but I said it. I wish I had picked it.
Oh man, then you wouldn't be in one of those dumb tweets that so very quickly, and then we have one or two more games to talk about here, but very quickly, you know, I was again subject of a drive-by from the Ravens social media account when they said that I picked against the Ravens last week and they made fun of me even though I didn't pick against the Ravens. This week, the Broncos did the thing where they were like, we see all you guys, NFL Network, you didn't pick us. If you picked the Broncos to win that game, you were high. Like, there's no reason. And I was happy that I mean, some of the account were like sycophants who I'm pretty sure were just like Sean Payton's burner accounts being like, yeah, nobody believed in us, Kyle Brandt.
Nobody believed in you because the Dolphins dropped 70 on you 5 minutes ago.
Nobody believed in you because Russell Wilson is your quarterback and you were one of the five worst teams in the NFL and you're playing the Chiefs. Like, there is no reason, if the spread is not involved, to pick against the Kansas City Chiefs. Like, there are selective upsets, and Lord knows I've picked more upsets than anybody in the MMQB by double, I think, this season in our staff picks. But selecting the Broncos there, you're just either being a jerk to be a jerk on purpose. You let your kids do it, which I've done sometimes. I let my kids pick sometimes. I'm not going to lie. They like it. They think it's very fun. Or, you grew up a Broncos fan and you think that there's like something fun about this. But I might write about this at some point.
Or you're a close personal friend of Sean Payton.
Yeah, you're in that Lululemon commercial with Sean Payton and talking about the athletic pants. Anyway,
yeah, I still can't get over how, again, I think we talked about this last week, but how all these coaches are intentionally bland and intentionally say nothing, and they will legitimately like fine assistant coaches or players for saying anything interesting. And yet on the other side of it, you've got these social media accounts, which are like, for some people, the front door to these NFL teams. And they just hand it over to some 23-year-old and say, oh yeah, go nuts and talk crap about everybody.
Yeah. it is. It says a lot like, about where we are
sense?
In the world.
Does
it does. It doesn't, but it says a lot about the world as it is today. Panthers get their first win, 15-13. Bryce Young, 235 yards and a touchdown, gets his first W as an NFL quarterback. As he said, the Eagles hang on and beat the Commanders, even though I thought the Commanders looked really good. Jacksonville beat the Steelers, which is a huge win, I think, for the Jaguars, because Steelers are kind of that ultimate trap game.
Another Jim Cantore special there, too.
Another Jim Cantore special.
On the sidelines.
Travis Etienne has looked great. Kind of fulfilled the promise there. Dolphins beat the Patriots 31-17. Saints over the Colts 38-27. Again, another one of these weird, sneaky teams where they keep bothering people, keep pulling people in. If they get into the playoffs, I think that they might cause some damage. Titans over the Falcons. Will Levis looked baller. I mean,
oh my God, yeah. Where'd that come from?
Hot damn. I mean, and for
I'm like
a guy,
excited. Like, he plays Thursday night. I'm excited to sit down and watch Will Levis on Thursday night.
I know. This is good. It's almost like the NFL planned it that way. Very suspicious. Vikings
we know
over the Packers.
We see you, Jeff Bezos. We know what you're
Stop
up to.
Stop spying on me. The Vikings over the Packers, 24-10. Cowboys blow out the Rams, 43-20. And then the Jets win the Snoopy Bowl, which was just an awesome game. Like, it was
Zach Wilson coming. It's like Zach Wilson's like, that's his thing now. Is to like
that's
lie
his legacy
in the
drive.
It's like to lie in the weeds for 3.5 quarters and then all of a sudden come out
take
and make three
sack.
Huge throws.
To take a sack like he did and then to come back and then go even further in a tighter situation. What did they say to him on the sideline that just
and
made him...
all of
him-
a sudden he throws two BBs, like one right down Main Street to Garrett Wilson, the other one across his body to Alan Lazard, and then he gets the team to the line and spikes it. Like, they're like, I talked to him after the game. They were like 4 seconds behind their rules. Like, the rules were like, we have to get down with 12 seconds to go. Like, with 8 seconds to go, Adoree Jackson's still lying on Alan Lazard. Like, so I don't know. I mean, somehow they're keeping this thing alive. And I give Robert Saleh an extension right now because
that's what I said last week.
Know,
you could have had it
know,
cheaper,
know,
Woody Johnson. You could have done it when I told you to. Now it's going to cost you an extra couple million dollars.
Yeah.
Man, oh man. That game fired me up though. And I did like that the Jersey Shore's own Tommy DeVito made an appearance.
I do have a question. Does the Snoopy Trophy change hands in a regular season game or is.
I don't know.
That only for the preseason game.
Trophy. That should be something as a former Jets and Giants beat writer that I should know. I'm very ashamed. I'm actually going to ask about that.
Because I don't know, like, because I know, like, it's always for the preseason game. It's there. So does it actually change hands for the regular season game?
I'm going to get some clarity on that. I'm going to do
It's very disappointing to, like, walk into, like, the Giants facility and see the four Lombardi trophies up there, and the Snoopy trophy doesn't get that kind of run, you know?
I know. Yeah. It's they keep it in a special place. You know, it's one of those things.
In John Mara's office.
Oh yeah. 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 Right next to the big leather sofa overlooking the practice field. Thanks as always, Albert. We've got a lot of work to do now over the next couple of days in NFL GMs. I'm going to let you guys know, you know, we got some working parents here covering the NFL on both sides of the aisle. We got Halloween parade tomorrow at the elementary school. We got trick or treating. We're starting right around 4:00. Okay. So if you're going to do some deals, let's get them done. Let's not draw this thing out until the deadline. You can make, you know, everyone has a cell phone, so let's help us out. And be sure to tune in to the Matt and Gilberto show on Thursday, which is great. And leave us a rating and review on Apple Podcasts. It really does help other people find the show. Helps us know how we can do better. Thanks a lot, guys. We'll see you next week.
Months from now, you could be running a 5K, booking that dream trip, or seeing thicker, fuller hair every time you look in the mirror. Through Hers, you can get dermatologist-trusted, clinically proven prescriptions with ingredients that go beyond what over-the-counter products offer. Whether you prefer oral or topical treatments, Hers has you covered. Getting started is simple. Just fill out an intake form online, and a licensed provider will recommend a customized plan just for you. The best part? Everything is 100% online. If prescribed, your treatment ships right to your door. No pharmacy trips, no waiting rooms, and no insurance headaches. Plus, treatments start at just $35 a month. Start your initial free online visit today at forhers.com/talk. That's forhers.com/talk. Compounded products are not FDA approved or verified for safety, effectiveness, or quality. Prescription required. Price varies based on product and subscription plan. See website for full details, restrictions, and important safety information.
Men, if you're ready to reclaim your edge, listen up. I used to be held back by constant bathroom trips, with multiple wake-ups during my sleep and looking for restrooms whenever I was out. Then I discovered Better Man. After just 2 months, I started experiencing fewer trips to the bathroom, less urge to go, and I even slept through some nights. I feel a noticeable boost in my overall well-being, even sexual stamina. It gives me the freedom and confidence to live life on my terms. Better Man is clinically tested and trusted by thousands of men over 25 years. Ready to take back control? Go to BeBetterNow.com to order your supply today. That's BeBetterNow.com.
These statements have not been evaluated by the FDA. This product is not intended to diagnose, treat, cure, or prevent any disease. Use as directed. Individual results may vary.